طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد وصلنا بفضل الله جل وعلا إلى أواخر إلى آية 46 أو 46 على حسب ما هو أصح باللغة العربية، التي لست أنا بأفقه الناس بها، أسأل الله للفقه في الدين واللغة وكل الأشياء. We have made it to verse after praising Allah عز وجل and the peace and blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have made it to the end of verse 46. We are about to start 47. I will continue the explanation of the Shaykh before we begin with verse 47. The last thing we read from verse 46 was المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. Wealth and children are the adornment of this life of this world, and the righteous deeds are better with your Lord in terms of reward and better in terms of hope. Na'am. Of course, they may vary in the translation. This is the translation that I've heard from my Shaykh. The Shaykh rahimahullah, Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, قال ولهذا أخبر تعالى أن المال والبنين زينة الحياة الدنيا أي ليس وراء ذلك شيء، وأن الذي يبقى للإنسان وينفعه ويسره أو ويسره الباقيات الصالحات، وهذا يشمل جميع الطاعات الواجبة والمستحبة من حقوق الله وحقوق عباده من صلاة إلى آخره. سوف أكمل بعد حين إن شاء الله. He said, the Shaykh said, this is why Allah Azza wa Jalla informed us that wealth and children are the adornment of this life of this world, meaning there is nothing beyond that. لَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing more than that. This is the epitome of it. Adornment. Money and children are nothing but the adornment. And whatever remains for the son of Adam from which will benefit him and be a source of pleasure for him is the righteous deeds. The righteous deeds that remain. He said, and this includes every obedience to Allah, whether it is compulsory or it is encouraged or voluntary. Every act of worship. And he mentioned a few of them. He said, like the rights of Allah and the rights of His servants, min salatin wa zakatin wa sadaqa, from prayer, wa zakat, charity, obligatory charity, wa sadaqa, voluntary charity, wa hajj of course, wa umrah, wa tasbih, wa tahmid, and performing umrah, wa tahmid, praising Allah, saying alhamdulillah, wa tasbih, saying subhanallah, wa tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah, wa takbir, saying Allahu akbar, wa qira'ah, and recitation, of course, of Quran and knowledge in particular, but Quran in particular, wa talabu ilm al-nafi', and seeking beneficial knowledge, wa amrun bima'roof, and enjoying the good, وَنَهْيٍ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ and forbidding the evil, وَصِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ and keeping the kinship ties, maintaining the family ties, وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ and being dutiful to the parents, وَقِيَامُ بِحَقِّ الزَّوْجَاتِ وَالْمَمَلِيكِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ and giving the wives and the slaves and the servants and the animals their rights, وجميع وجوه الإحسان خلقا and every aspect of goodness to the creation. كل هذا من الباقيات الصالحات. All the things that the Shaykh enumerated are examples of righteous deeds. طيب, whether it is the rights of Allah or the rights of His servants or salah or zakah or hajj or remembering Allah or reciting the Quran, enjoying the good, forbidding the evil, being dutiful to the parents, to the wife, to the children, everything is considered righteous deeds. Right? فهذه خير عند الله ثوابا وخير عملا. These things I just mentioned are better with Allah in terms of reward and in terms of hope. فثوابها يبقى, because its reward remains, its reward remains. ويتضاعف على الأبد, and it multiplies throughout time, it keeps multiplying. ويؤمن أجرها وبرها ونفعها عند الحاجة, and you hope for its for the reward and the benefit of that particular act of worship to come about at the time of necessity and the time of need. فهذه التي ينبغي أن يتنافس بها المتنافسون. So this is what the people who want to compete should be competing about. The people who want to compete, don't compete who has a nicer car and who has a bigger house and who has more children and who has more money and who is more recognized and who is blah blah blah. Rather, if you want to compete with one another regarding anything, then compete with the righteous deeds. Who will be more in righteous deeds? Who remembers Allah more? Who recites the Quran more? Who prays more? Who fasts more? Huh? Who enjoys the good more? Who forbids the evil? Who is durable to faith? Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So that is what we compete about. Who has more righteous deeds? Why? Because these are the things that will last. These are the things that will remain. These are the things that will truly benefit. As for the money and the children, they're only in a dormant of this life. They don't remain. The money doesn't remain, neither do the children. Now, they are in a dormant unless we utilize it properly by making them an act of worship, such as raising our children properly, teaching them the Quran and teaching them the teachings of Islam and making them beneficial to the people. Then that becomes an act of worship. They're no longer just in a dormant, rather they are an investment. Same thing with the money, if you utilize it properly. So we're talking about general things here. But if the Muslim is wise, then he may make everything that Allah gave him from the dunya an act of worship, whether money or children or otherwise. طيب ممتاز. فهذه التي ينبغي أن يتنافس بها المتنافسون ويستبق إليها العاملون ويجد في تحصيلها المجتهدون. So the Shaykh said, this is what those who want to compete should be competing about. And this is what those who want to race against one another, the workers who want to race, let them race regarding these things, the acts of the good deeds. And this is what the people with the strong ability and strong will should do in terms of exerting themselves. Now the Shaykh said, وَتَأَمَّلْ كَيْفَ لَمَّا ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ الدُّنْيَا وَحَالَهَا وَمِحْلَالَهَا ذَكَرَ أَنَّ الَّذِي فِيهَا نَوْعَانٍ. Now the Shaykh says, and pay attention, ponder to the fact that when Allah struck the example, that when Allah struck the example of this life of this dunya, of this world, and how it will vanish and disappear, that Allah mentioned that what's in it is two kinds. That which is in it is two kinds. نَوْعٌ مِنْ زِينَتِهَا يتمتع به قليلا ثم يزول بلا فائدة تعود لصاحبه بل ربما لحقته مضرته وهو المال والبنون. One kind of it's a dormant, he enjoys for a small portion of time, he enjoys a little, then it will go away without bringing back any benefit for this person, without bringing back, without him retrieving any benefit from it. But perhaps it may be a cause of destruction and harm. And this is the wealth and the children. وَنَوْعَ يَبْقَى وَيَنْفَعْ صَاحِبُهُ عَلَى دَوَامَهُ وَالْبَقِيَةِ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Another kind which remains forever, and this is the righteous deeds. Basically what I just mentioned, alhamdulillah. طيب. Verse number 47. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم أن لن نجعل لكم موعدا ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. Can someone kindly read in English? Go ahead, Mr. Khalid.
And remember the day we shall cause the mountains to pass away like clouds of dust. And you will see the earth as a level plain, and we shall gather them all together so as to leave no one of them behind.
Yes, continue.
And they will be set before you, Lord, in lines as hoofs, and Allah will say, No, indeed you have come to us as we created you the first time. Nay, but you thought that we had appointed no meeting for you with us.
Continue.
And the book, once recalled, will be placed in the right hand for a believer in the ownness of Allah, and in the left hand for a disbeliever in the ownness of Allah. And you will see the mujrimun, criminals, polytheist sinners, fearful of that which is recorded therein. They will say, Who to us? What sort of book is this that leaves neither a small thing nor a big thing, but has recorded it with numbers? And they will find all that they did, place it before them, and your Lord treats no one with injustice.
JazakAllah khair, MashaAllah, TabarakAllah. يخبر تعالى عن حال يوم القيامة وما فيه من الأحوال المقلقة والشدائد المزعجة فقال ويوم نسير الجبال أي يزيلها عن أماكنها ويجعلها كثيبة ثم يجعلها كالعهن المنفوش ثم تضمحل وتتلاشى وتكون هباء منبثا وتبرز الأرض فتصير قاعا صفصفا لا عوج فيه ولا أمتا ويحشر الله جميع الخلق على تلك الأرض فلا يغادر منهم أحدا. The Shaykh said, Allah tells us about the condition of the Day of Judgment and what is in it from the disturbing moments and severe times. Allah says, in a day where we will make the mountains move, meaning we will make, the Shaykh said, أَيْ يُزِيلُهَا عَنْ أَمَكِنَا, meaning Allah will make the mountains move from its place. وَيَجْعَلْهَا كَثِيبًا ثُمَّ يَجْعَلْهَا كَالْعِنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, then it will go through phases in terms of the changing, and Allah will make it like cotton. Cotton, you know, the soft cotton where if you blow it, it just goes like the stuffing of a pillow. Something along these lines. Wallahu a'lam. Then the mountains will just vanish and diminish and disintegrate. It will become disintegrated like a wind you blow. And then the surface of the earth will become visible and it will become flat. You will not see any, you will not find it in any crookedness or any hills. It will be one flat. So much so that they say that on the Day of Judgment, the first person standing can see the last person standing. And if somebody calls, then everyone will hear. Because now, the earth is round. So people seem to be gone, right? If you're standing somewhere, you cannot see too far. Otherwise, it's khalas. The earth on that day, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. So, then the earth, Abdul Aziz, you cannot, verse number 49. Okay. So the earth will become flat. The earth will become flat. No mountains, no valleys, nothing. One flat surface. And different than the earth that we're currently upon. That will be a special earth surface that Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring about on the Day of Judgment. Huh? يَوْمَ نُبَدِّلُ. Anyways, I'm not going to quote the verse if I'm not sure about it. But there's a verse in the Quran that says that when we will replace the earth with another one and the heavens, and everybody will be presented to Allah Azza wa Jalla. طيب فلا يغادر منهم أحدا, and no one will be left alone. No one will be left alone. No one will be left alone. بل يجمع الأولين والآخرين من بطون الفلوات وقعور البحار ويجمعهم بعدما تفرقوا ويعيدهم بعدما تمزقوا خلقا جديدا، فيعرضون عليه صفا ليستعرضهم وينظر في أعمالهم ويحكم فيهم بحكمه العدل الذي لا جور فيه ولا ظلم. He said, nay, rather Allah will gather the first people and the last, everyone, the early people and the later people, and everyone who's between them. And they will come from everywhere, from the ground, from the depth of the oceans. Because some people drown. Some people they die by burning. They are burnt. So much so that there's nothing left. No flesh, no bone, no nothing. Yet, all this doesn't go outside the will of Allah and the strength and the power of Allah. Allah will bring everybody, no matter how they died. Whether they were buried in a regular burial, or whether they died because they drowned in the ocean, or whether they were burnt, it does not matter. Everyone will be brought back. After they had been ripped apart, a new creation, and then they will be presented to Allah in rows. In rows. So He will look at their deeds, and He will judge among them with this just ruling. With this just ruling. The one that contains no transgression or no oppression. No oppression. And He will say, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You have come to us as we have created you the first time. أي بلا مال ولا أهل ولا عشيرة وما معهم إلا الأعمال التي عملوها والمكاسب في الخير والشر التي كسبوها. Meaning, what is intended by they will come with nothing, like the time they were created, meaning they will come with no wealth and no family and no tribe, no people, not your people. Well, I'm from this country, so they're going to help me out. And they will have nothing with them. This is us, by the way. We're speaking about us and the others. We will have nothing with us except the deeds that we used to perform. Whether it was towards goodness or whether it was towards evil. Either way, that's all you will be bringing. كما قال تعالى وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِكُمْ وَمَا نَرَى مَعَكُمْ شُفَعَاءُكُمُ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّهُمْ فِيكُمْ شُفَعَاءُ أَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فِيكُمْ شُرَكَاءَ. عَفْوًا. Another verse Allah says, the Shaykh is quoting another verse from the Quran, where Allah says, and you have come to us single, as we have created you the first time, and you have left behind that which we have given you from the dunya, behind your backs, and we do not see with you those intercessors that you have claimed that they are indeed partners. Yani you have claimed them to be shuraka with Allah. So all those who were calling upon Jesus, and those who were calling upon Buddha, and those who will be calling upon a cow, and those who call upon the sun and the moon, and everybody who called upon a God, and he made it an equal to Allah, and a partner with Allah, and associated Allah's worship along with these idols and statues and human beings and angels and whatever, fairy tales sometimes, on that day, they will not come with you. They will not come with the person and say nothing in terms of assistance. Because the whole objective of worshipping them is so they can get you closer. They could help you go to paradise. So when Jesus will come and say, oh Allah, I did not tell him except what you told me. That worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness while I was among them. And when you took me, you were the one watching over them. As it comes in the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Jesus will declare his innocence. So these people will not be able to, those partners that they have taken besides Allah will be of no benefit on that day. وَقَالَ هُنَا مُخَاطِبًا لِلْمُنْكِرِينَ لِلْبَعْثِ وَقَدْ شَاهَدُوهُ عِيَانًا بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنْ لَنْ نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا أي أنكرتموا الجزاء على الأعمال ووعد الله ووعيده فها قد رأيتموه وذقتموه فحينئذ تحضر كتب الأعمال التي كتبتها الملائكة الكرام فتطير لها القلوب وتعظم من وقعها الكروب وتكاد لها الصم الصلاب تذوب ويشفق منها المجرمون فإذا رأوها مسطرة عليهم مسطرة عليهم أعمالهم محصى عليهم أقوالهم وأفعالهم أو محصى عليهم أقوالهم وأفعالهم قالوا يا ويلتنا إلى آخر الآية. And Allah says here, He would be speaking to those who deny the resurrection after they have seen it with their own eyes. Now this is on the day of judgment. They denied resurrection and now they are resurrected. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell them, you have denied, you rejected the fact that we will gather you and we will bring you back and we will have an appointment for you. And you have denied accountability for deeds and the promise of Allah and His threats. And now you have seen it and you have tasted it. You have seen it and you are currently tasting it, because this is on the day of judgment. Then the books will be brought. The books of deeds that were written by the angels that Allah Azza wa Jalla has assigned for each son of Adam. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. He does not say a word except that he has an angel watching over him close. عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٌ. One on the right, one on the left, sitting, writing down the deeds of the son of Adam, whether good or bad. So on the day of judgment, that book of deeds, then that is from the time of puberty until death. Unless you were sleeping or you became crazy or you, whatever other exceptions where you're not responsible for your actions. طيب? Like when you were asleep, you may do something while you sleep, you will not be held accountable. طيب? Some people go crazy. And during the time of craziness, they're not held accountable. This is when you are in the right mind and you have reached puberty. The angels write down everything that we do. So when these books will be brought, the hearts will fly. The hearts will fly. And the severity of this book being presented, يعني, will reach its maximum. And يعني, the hard iron almost melts away from the severity of the moment. And then the criminals will be in a major depression. There will be a major depression. And when they see it, all their deeds have been written and it's all in the book and every statement and action they did has been counted, they will say, woe to us, what sort of book is this that it does not leave any small or big thing except that it has registered it or counted it. أي لا يترك لا يترك خطيئة صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا وهي مكتوبة فيه محفوظة لم ينسى منها عمل سر ولا علانية ولا ليل ولا نهار. Meaning, not even a single sin will be forgotten, neither a big one, except that it is written and it is preserved. Nothing has been forgotten of it, whether it was an action in secret where only the person did it and no one else knew about it, or whether it was something that was done publicly, or whether it was done during the night, or whether it was done during the day. It does not matter. ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا لا يقدرون على إنكاره ولا يظلم ربك أحدا فحينئذ يجازون بها ويقررون بها ويخزون ويحق عليهم العذاب ذلك بما قدمت أيديهم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد بل هم غير خارجين عن عدله وفضله. Then they will find what they have put forth present and they are unable to deny it. They will not be able to deny it. They cannot say, oh, we didn't do these deeds. The angels have written them. Allah is aware of them. And Allah will make their own body parts speak against them. Where the mouth will say, oh Allah, He used me for such and such and such. And the hand will say, oh Allah, He used me to steal. Even if the person wants to deny it, his body parts will speak against him. as it comes in other verses in the Quran. قَالُوا أَنْطَقَنَا اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْطَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. When the person will tell his skin and his flesh, لِجُلُودِهِمْ and his sight, why did you testify against us? I was trying to protect you. They will say, Allah made us speak. The one who makes everything speaks. So even the person who wants to deny his deeds on the Day of Judgment, Allah out of his justice will allow him. Because it comes in the narration that a person will say, oh Allah, I don't want the angels and whoever recorded deeds. I want myself. I myself want to be a witness against myself. Then Allah will allow him. And then Allah will seal on his mouth. And then Allah will command his body parts to speak. And then his body parts will testify against him. He tried to run away from that of the angels. His own body parts spoke about what he used to do. So there's no escape from that. So they cannot deny that the deeds. And the Lord does not oppress anyone. And then they will be held accountable for them. And they will confess. And then they will be punished. And the punishment will become a right upon them. And why? This is because of what they have earned with their own hands. And your Lord was never to oppress the servants. Your Lord, as Allah says in many verses in the Quran, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, as in this one, and your Lord does not oppress anyone. The Shaykh says, rather, while they are in this state, still they are under the justice of Allah and His bounty. Even when they are in this particular case, not because Allah is oppressing them, rather Allah is dealing with them in the ultimate justice. But this is only an equal recompense for what they have put forth. This is only justice, along with al-fadl, the virtue and the bounty from Allah. They're not deprived of these things, even at these crucial times. Indication that they were not oppressed when they find their books. And they will say, oh why? And if I only go back to the world, I will blah 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 and the whole nine yards. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will not accept that from them. And then they will be punished because of what they did. This is not oppression from Allah. This is what you have earned with your own hands. You were given this life. You were given plenty of time to think. You were given revelations. Messengers came. Allah gave you intellect, favored you over the animals, favored you over the creation, gave you signs in the universe, gave you signs within yourselves. Nothing was left in terms of guidance. There's the guidance that you get from your own self by natural inclination, and there's guidance you get from observing this universe. And on top of all that, there's clear guidance that was revealed by Allah through the messengers, particularly Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is the final message, preserved, protected. What other excuse does the son of Adam have? What other excuse does any human being have for not being mindful of Allah? What excuse do they have to just live their whole life about making money, having fun, being heedless about God? What excuse do they have? No revelation came? It did. You too stupid? No. You were given the mind to be able to identify that there must be one God and the objective of life must be beyond some temporary pleasure. You've been given the common sense from the time you were born that there's something coming. There's a hereafter. So what is the preparation? What is the preparation? You will find that they have no preparation except following religions that Allah did not reveal. And following religions that have teachings that go against the teachings of Allah. Actually, following religions that have a belief system that will make you disbelieve in Allah, insult Him, reject Him, and deny His rights. And these people, what do they deserve on the Day of Judgment? Exactly what Allah is telling us. Not only they didn't worship Allah, but they had the nerve to insult Him, Azza wa Jal. And Allah is Allah. He is the self-sufficient. Insult is going to come back at them. Allah will remain Allah. the magnificent. Nothing will belittle His majesty. But they insult God in terms of their belief system. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Ahla wa sallam. By claiming that Allah has a son. That Allah has gotten a begotten son. Has taken up a son and sent him on earth so he could do whatever he was supposed to do according to the Christians. What kind of insult is this? To claim that the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is now a father? A father? Like us human beings? And like animals? To have a father and a mother and a wife and a children? And not just like in a linguistic sense. If they only meant the Son of God and the Father of humans or Jesus in a linguistic sense, no problem, half a problem. But they mean it in the literal sense, begotten Son of God. So you will not think that it's only just, you know, like you say, my son, can you help me? Not that one, but the begotten Son of God. This is the epitome of, this is insult, man. You're insulting Allah and He didn't reveal that to you. And He didn't command you to say that. And He did not make this part of the belief that you're supposed to be upon. Rather, this is something that you innovated. And now you worship and supposedly God according to that. Anyways, whomever goes to the fire will be going to the fire because of what they have earned, what they own. They bought the ticket. Every person who will enter the fire, wallahi, is because they paid for it. No one will be taken there oppressively. No one. Not even for a second. No one will be thrown in the fire, not even for a second, by means of oppression from Allah. Never. Rather, it will be the people who paid money for their own destruction. That, you know, people nowadays who have been to jail, and they warn them. You know, in America they have three strikes or something. Basically, if you go to prison three times, for some major felony, the fourth time, you cannot leave prison. They put you in prison for life. Tayyib? You've been given the warning. You know how many people wind up committing four felonies and going to prison? Yani, you were into prison, they warned you. He said, look, if you come to prison again, let's say the third time, one more time, and you'll be put in prison for life. Tayyib, is that a clear warning or not? Wallahi, these people will go out of prison, on his way home he will rob a bank. Before he goes home, he goes into the bank. Everybody, give my money! They catch him, take him back to prison. What do you say to somebody like this? You earned it! You paid for this prison! Look, the warning came, and they told you if you do one more crime, you'll be gone for life. And they still commit four felonies in order to go to prison for life. What do you say about these people? Do you say that they're unjustly put in prison? Of course, we're not talking about the law. The law of putting people in prison is un-Islamic. So we don't agree with that. We don't agree with that in this sense, or according to their law. But I'm talking about the wisdom behind it. Don't you think this person earned it? If they give him what they promised him, that's not oppression, that's justice. The law says like this, and you must be dumb to do this after you've been given the clear warning that don't do this. And likewise, on the day of judgment. The warning has come, anyone who goes to the fire, because they have bought the ticket, they wanted to go there. Why? When the warning came, believe in Allah, worship Allah, remember there's death, prepare for the hereafter, do righteous deeds. No, I'm busy. My forefathers are upon a religion, I will be at the same religion as my forefathers. My mom is a Christian, I'm not going to go nowhere else. But what if Islam, I don't care, Islam is the truth, Islam is not the truth, I don't care, I don't want to hear nothing. I am like this, I want to stay like this. Okay, you can stay like this today, but on the day of judgment when you put in the fire, don't complain. Say, oh Allah, why? Because when the warning came to you, you were too busy, thinking you're going to live for a million years. Not realizing that it's only 67 years maximum, and then you need to worry about the hereafter. But they don't want to worry about the hereafter, they want to have fun now. That's why the people are still disbelievers. Anyways, verse number 50. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. Can someone please read verse 50 in English?
And remember, with respect to the angels, prostrate yourselves unto Adam. So they prostrate themselves exceedingly. Satan, he was one of the few. He disobeyed. It is made the command of the Lord, will you then take him, the blessing of his offspring, as protector and helper rather than me, while they are enemies to you? What an evil is the exchange for the Darimun?
Yeah. Mumtaz. Now here, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about what happened after the creation of Adam. Our father Adam. Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam, as you know, from Surah Al-Baqarah. If you ever read Surah Al-Baqarah, towards the first few pages, we are introduced for the first time, assuming you read the Quran from the first page to the end. You are introduced for the first time to the story of Adam and how Allah Azza wa Jal created him, and Allah taught him the names, and he knew things that the angels did not know. So here, Allah commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam. Now there's a very important thing that we need to recognize. This particular prostration, actually let me just do the tafsir of the Shaykh because he's already mentioning it. طيب. يخبر تعالى عن عداوة إبليس لآدم وذريته وأن الله أمر الملائكة بالسجود لآدم إكراما وتعظيما وامتثالا لأمر الله فامتثلوا ذلك إلا إبليس كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربه. Allah tells us about the animosity, يعني from the word enemy or being an enemy or the hatred that Iblis has to Adam and his offspring, يعني us, the animosity and the hatred that Iblis, the devil, he has towards the son of Adam and the son of Adam. And that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the angels that they shall prostrate to Adam. And a prostration of honoring and not a prostration of worship. Very fundamental.
Yeah, because I have to ask that question, supposedly.
When the angels were commanded to prostrate to Adam, not to worship Adam, طيب, rather only to honor the ability and the creation of Allah in creating and obeying the command of Allah. Because it is no way that Allah would command His angels to worship other than Him. Something that He created, and the whole Quran is about that you cannot worship anyone but the Creator, not the creation. So this is something that is understood in Islam. So this particular command to prostrate is to honor Adam, not to worship him. They didn't make sujood say, Subhana Adam, glory be to Adam, or O Adam, give us something. No. It was only a command given by Allah, and they are obeying the command of Allah. And that particular prostration was not that of worship. Not of worship. Understood? Good. فَامْتَثَلُوا ذَلِكَ. So they obeyed Allah except Iblis. Iblis. Iblis is the name of
Satan.
And he's the father of the devils. All of the shayateen are the children of Iblis. And Iblis is the father. Shayateen, shaitan is devil. Iblis is Satan. Or they call him also Lucifer. Whatever his names are. It doesn't matter what it is in English. In Arabic it's Iblis. And all the shayateen, the devils are called shayateen. They are his children. So he was among the jinn. And this is a reputation to the Christians. And we had this before in the radio show, where they said that there are verses in the Quran that indicate that why would Satan be with the angels unless he was an angel himself? So some of them claim that Satan was an angel, and then he became Satan when he disobeyed. And our belief system is that he was a jinn from the beginning. And jinn is a creation made out of smokeless fire. Fire that no smoke comes out. This is the jinn, which is the creation that we live with. Those are also accountable on the Day of Judgment to believe in Allah and His messengers. That's why Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've only created jinn and ins. So this is another creation that we share this universe with, the jinn. But we don't see them, except the magicians who deal with the shayateen, so they may have some interaction with one another. And sometimes these jinn, they possess someone. Allah musta'an. طيب, so Iblis was among the jinn. He was not an angel. He was among the jinn, but he was supposedly so righteous that he has made it among the ranks of the angels who were worshiping Allah. But this is until what was inside of him got exposed. When Allah exposed what he held inside. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. He was among the jinn. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So he disobeyed the command of his Lord. وَقَالَ, and Iblis said, as it comes in another verse, أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينًا. Shall I prostrate to the one whom you created from teen, from clay? This is the position of Iblis. Teen is not clay. Clay is when it's dry. Teen is the stage before it becomes dry. Maybe perhaps soil or something along these lines. Because there's different descriptions. I don't recall which one it is. Just forgive me for my shortcomings. Nonetheless, the position of Iblis, as it comes in another verse, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You have created me from fire. So he thought, because he was made out of fire, that he is better than Adam. And that he, whom he is made out of fire, should not prostrate to the one that was made out of clay or soil or dust or whatever. Depending on the stages that Adam went through, alayhi salatu wasalam, before he became the human being in the flesh that we know, as it comes in the various descriptions in the Quran. وَقَالْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. And Iblis said, I am better than him. I am better than him. فَتَبَيَّنَ بِهَذَا عَدَوَتِهِ لِلَّهِ وَلِأَبِيكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فَكَيْفَ تَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتُهُ أَيْ الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. So it has become clear, the Shaykh is speaking, saying, it has become clear, rahimahullah, it has become clear the animosity that Iblis has towards Allah, towards our father, Adam, and to us. The animosity has towards us. So how then do you take him as a protector and a helper? Yani the shayateen. You take him as protectors besides Allah. This is strange. One of the strangest things in the world. That the people believe that Adam was taken out of the Jannah, paradise, along with Eve, or according to the Christians, because of Eve. Either way, both were taken out because of what though? The devil. Right or wrong? The whispering of the devil. So they recognize that the devil is an enemy. Yet, when they come on earth, they follow him. They follow him. And they take him as protector and a helper besides Allah. And anyone who worships anyone other than Allah is actually worshiping the devil. Anyone who worships anything besides Allah is actually worshiping the devil. Whether he is in the shape of a statue or the sun or the moon, whatever it is, in reality they are worshiping the shayateen. As Allah mentioned in another verse in the Quran. أي بئس ما اختاروا لأنفسهم من ولاية الشيطان الذي لا يأمرهم إلا بالفحشاء والمنكر عن ولاية الرحمن الذي كل السعادة والفلاح والسرور في ولايته. So the Shaykh said, what a terrible choice that they have chosen for them, what they have chosen for themselves, from taking the wilaya, meaning the protection and the help of the shaitan. The one who does not command them except with evil and corruption. And he turns them away and they reject in return the protection and the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most Merciful. That all happiness and success and pleasure lies in being taking him as a protector and as a helper. وفي هذه الآية الحث على اتخاذ الشيطان عدوا والإغراء بذلك وذكر السبب الموجب لذلك وأنه لا يفعل ذلك إلا ظالم وأي ظلم أعظم من ظلم من اتخذ عدوه الحقيقي وليا وترك الولي الحميد. The Shaykh said in this ayah there's the encouragement on taking the shaitan as an enemy, of recognizing him as an enemy and taking him as an enemy and giving us the reasons why, because of his past, and mentioning the reason which makes it such, and that the person who does that, which is take the shaitan as a helper, is only an oppressor. Only an oppressive person will do that. And what oppression is greater? What oppression is greater than the one who has taken his enemy as his protector and left the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal? This is the worst thing in the world. So, yani, if you know a group of people want to kill you. A group of people want to kill you, and your mom, your mother, she wants to have a nice conversation with you, طيب, and she wants to ask you for something. So you run away from your mom and you go hide in the house of the people who want to kill you. So as soon as you knock on the door, you come in and say, "Hey man, we've been waiting for you for a long time." Ma'a salama. Only a dumb person will do that. You have your mother, they're telling you, "Come, I want to have some coffee with you, enjoy your company." So you run away from your mom, who's merciful to you, and you go to the house of the people who've been wanting to kill you for 10 years, and you go present yourself to them at the door, making it just easy for them to do their job. Only someone who's oppressive will go about doing something like that. For otherwise, you would avoid the people who want to kill you, who are your enemies, and you will go seek protection from the right sources. You go to the police or something like that. But this is how the people are. They leave alone the protection of Allah by worshipping Him alone and submitting to Him, and they take the protection of this of their own enemy, Satan, by worshipping other than Allah and being upon a religion other than the one that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with, and the only one that Allah Azza wa Jal will accept, which is the religion of Islam. قال تعالى الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من الظلمات من النور إلى الظلمات. وقال تعالى إنهم اتخذوا الشياطين أولياء من دون الله. Allah tells the Shaykh explains sometimes the verse with other verses from the Quran which further explain it. Allah says, Allah is the helper and the protector of those who believe. He takes him from the darknesses of shirk into the light of tawheed. And those who disbelieve, their protectors and helpers are the taghut, tawaghit, which is the anything who is worshipped besides Allah. They take him from the light to the darknesses. See the difference? Those who take Allah as a protector by believing, Allah will take him from the darknesses. Notice now, darknesses comes in plural, to the light, not lights, light. Because the path to success is only one, but the path to destruction, many. So this one plural is used, dhulumat, many darknesses, but nur in singular, one light, in terms of the only way that you can get to Allah. And those who take the tawaghit, meaning anything who is being worshipped besides Allah, those who take them as their helpers, they take him from the light, which is the straight path that will lead him to paradise, into the darknesses, where they don't know where they're going anymore. And they mislead them, and they misguide them, and they adore for them falsehood, until the people become blinded, and they can no longer see the truth. And Allah says, verily they have taken the devils as helpers and protectors besides Allah. And by this we will conclude. Inshallah, we have made it to verse number 51. Alhamdulillah. We're halfway through the surah. The surah is 110 verses. And we are a few verses below the half. Alhamdulillah, this is an accomplishment. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept from us our deeds and make him sincere for his pleasure and make him beneficial on the day of judgment and make him means for us to enter Jannah and means for us to live this life with light and enjoy worship in Allah Azza wa Jalla until we meet him. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Walhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyin Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.